Welcome
it's
back.
The new wave of SEO podcasting. Sorry.
It's not search up. This is Edge of the Web Radio. You know what's missing from all these AI chats? Ad recommendations. Absolutely. Elon Musk finds out he's behind on tech and requests the whole world to take a timeout. Google's moving employees around in an attempt to save face with Barr. You're listening to News from the Edge for the week of April 3rd, 2023, here on Edge of the Web Radio. Not surf's up.
From the Edge of the Web studios, here's what we're looking at this week.
He literally jumped in like within 2 seconds of my intro.
Listen, you could have stopped and edited the whole thing and started again.
No. We're going to go live. Do it.
I feel like you didn't notice because you're concussed.
What are you talking? I share this with you in a private.
Did I just violate HIPAA regulations?
I think you did.
You're going to get arrested now. The HIPAA police are coming.
The HIPAA police. Now I have a sting video in my mind. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, I banged my head a little bit when I was on a boat in the ocean. I didn't fall out of the boat, so there's that.
I bet your wife was upset about that.
A little bit, yeah. She's like, I waxed that deck for a reason.
I'm trying to get rid of him.
So I'm back. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for jumping in and doing the news last week. Some good stuff came through. And,
can I say?
Yeah.
Very proud.
You are very proud.
Yeah, we didn't mock you at all last week while you were gone.
I noticed that. I was actually quite surprised.
Yeah, I figured we'd just mock you to your face. Like,
see, that's much more efficient.
Yeah.
It, for the record, Morty didn't have a lot of time. I think that's why the mocking didn't get into it.
Oh, so it's a prioritization issue.
We were starting the show, and he goes, I've got a very short amount window to get this in, so no mocking Aaron today. I said, okay.
Last week was bonkers. My schedule was bonkers last week.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, but you still stayed on, and you're already late to that. You were late to that meeting anyway, right? So, good job.
I was late, yeah. Jacob, is this the banter part of the...
No, we haven't reached banter yet.
The banter slide?
Let me know.
That's after, yeah. Banter. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. This is Edge of the Web Radio. I'm your host, banter. Aaron Sparks. Banter. I'm Aaron Sparks, owner of Site Strategic, digital marketing firm here in Indianapolis, Indiana. We're covering SEO and digital marketing news separately from our weekly interview podcast that we've been doing for 10 years, talking about SEO, digital marketing, all the different tactics under the sun inside the digital marketing space. So we're proud to be able to have that show running and proud to be able to bring you the news weekly, every week. And we did so last week as well. Evidently, it went fantastic. I did listen to it, by the way, guys.
You did?
Yeah, absolutely.
We know because before the show, you were grilling Jacob.
Yeah, he didn't read Darren Shaw's article, right? You deftly navigated that, though, by the way.
Get back to it. This week.
Yeah, so I thought you guys were going to give a shout-out to Darren and get him on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just on the show.
Yeah, but...
Again.
Brand new stats on local.
All right.
So we'll try to fit this in. Well, go ahead and tweet Morty while we're doing the show. All right.
No, I'm sorry. Just my dad's calling. Hold on. It's like, hey, Dad, can I call you back in a few minutes?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Thanks, Dad. Sorry about that.
No
next
worries.
Time, bring him in on speaker.
Bring him in on speaker. All right, so this is the Site Strategics Digital Marketing News Desk. We're proud to have Site Strategics as the title sponsor of Edge. Very proud of my team here at Site Strategics. We're one of the top SEOs in our region of the country, and that's the reason why we do this show, is continually learn from incredible masters such as Morty Oberstein, right? Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about what we do over at Site. Joining me this week, although you probably already know him, he's the winner of Laser Tag, Morty Oberstein, head of SEO branding at Wix. Morty, that's how right. You doing, sir?
I am the winner of Laser Tag. Take that, George Wynn. I beat you.
Yeah. Oh, so you had Wix Laser Tag.
Yeah, and it was Crystal, George, and the rest of the bar, Inball, everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
And I won. And George is still salty about it. I'm not kidding. He's like legitimately upset
that
I beat him at laser tag.
Well, I mean, I do have the Jewish space laser joke hanging out right over here that we could probably...
I was doing that. There was like two levels of the laser tag. And I was kind of like hiding in a corner, shooting people from the corner so no one could get me. But I was getting, yeah. Yeah. But George thought that was cheap. I thought that was
brilliant. Yeah, it's called squatting, actually. And
whatever.
Yeah, you don't do that in first-person games. Come on, you don't do that.
I won, so who cares?
It's all about the destination, right? Not the journey. That's what you're saying?
It's all about winning.
It's all about winning. All right, so guess who's winning? On the chat side of things, Bing Chat, to feature ads. This is an article from Search Engine Journal by Matt Southern. Featuring ads shaking up the ad-free experience on Microsoft. They're introducing ads into the Bing Chat, transforming the ad-free platform and offering new opportunities for publishers and promoters alike, right? There are some proposed features like ads in chat, expanded hover experiences, rich caption aims to actually increase user engagement and revenue for publishers. So we knew that it would be very, very quick that ads start populating the chat windows there. But you have a particularly unique take, Morty, on that. I caught on LinkedIn or Twitter. I can't remember which. What's your take on ads?
I need to put that on. I didn't put that on LinkedIn. I need to do that. Thank you for.
Well, you've never been an ads proponent. You've always been.
No, I'm always anti-ads.
You're anti-ads, but not now.
Yeah.
So
I think it's a great thing. I think now the idea that the search engines, in this case Bing, is going to think about ads is great because. If the ad doesn't get clicks, are people going to be advertising?
No.
No. Absolutely not. So now you have to design an AI chat experience that's built around websites getting clicks, right?
And passing attribution as well, right?
This is a net good thing.
I think so. Absolutely. So
the next logical step is, organic. But Bing, by the way, I don't think they're the problem. Mm-hmm. I think in general, I think Matt even has a point in there. They're testing or they're talking about rather a hover feature where you hover over the citated link and it gives you a heap or an array of other links from the website that you can explore. So Bing to me is looking at AI as an accent to organic,
right,
not as a way of replacing it. So I have trust in Bing, but the idea that all of these search engines are going to try to monetize, they're going to have to monetize this, means that they're going to have to figure out a way or a format that the AI chat experience enables or allows for or facilitates a click.
It's still going to be trustworthy. The ad has to be trustworthy. So there's got to be maybe additional verification.
Ads are going to save the web.
Right. Yeah.
Ads
are going to save the web.
They will bring citations to AI chat experience.
Well, that's what your conversation was last week, right? Talking about there has to be verification on trustworthiness. You gave an example of New York Yankees example where the article was way outdated, right? See, I did listen. See?
Yeah, that guy's not even a shortstop anymore. Now he played left field, center field.
He plays in Quidditch or something like that. I have no idea. But the point is, it's got to be verified. And the contextual awareness of the user has to be embraced there is that, the chat came up with something. Here's the article. Even the date of the article, bringing that into the chat would be incredibly valuable, right? So it's like a rich snippet inside of the chat window. You got to have it. Otherwise, we're falling prey to hallucinations. We realize that there's a heck of a lot going on in the AI front that's odd, to say the least, or weird. But, hopefully ads pry that door open and we can actually have some citations coming. I think it'll be valuable, to say the least. But just think about that optimization opportunity. But how in the world we could actually optimize into those chat areas? That's a whole nother skill set right there, right?
Yeah. I don't know what it's going to look like, but that presumably that would be a AI chat optimization.
Yeah. We had a couple of theories that we were rolling around over here at site about doing just that. Yeah.
AIEO.
No, don't do it.
AIEO. That's it.
Bernard's going to sing that one.
It'll be the next song.
Please don't even go there.
All right. So capitalizing on this article, let's go over to The Verge with James Vincent. And a couple of different platforms had the same news. Elon Musk and top AI researchers call for a pause on giant AI experiences. There was an open letter that says the current race dynamic in AI is dangerous and calls for the creation of an independent set of regulators to ensure future systems are safe to deploy. The letter said, we call on all AI labs to immediately pause for at least 6 months the training of AI systems more powerful than GPT-4. Now, how in the world can you stop the momentum, especially when it comes down to commerce and revenue generation? How can you pause that. We are on an incredible trajectory right now, right?
Do you know how they came up with the 6-month time?
No.
I think that's how long Elon Musk needs to get caught up himself. That's my theory.
That's funny.
He knows. I mean, come on. Elon Musk calling for regulation?
This is amazing. Maybe they should just verify the chats. Like, if the AI paid $8, would it then be okay?
Oh man, that's rough. The letter said this pause should be public and verifiable and include all key actors. If such a pause cannot be enacted quickly, governments should step in and institute a moratorium. Okay. That's a slippery slope.
If this can't be fair, mom and dad need to stop everyone until it's fair for me.
By the way, there's some other big names on this thing. Like, co-founder of Apple.
Yeah, Steve Wozniak.
Yeah. So, look, there is an interesting point to this that I'm not saying that we should stop. And I think it's kind of ridiculous at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a real issue that this thing is going to destroy factual accuracy.
Absolutely.
And that's a real problem. I think there's one that Glenn gave the other week that he's the founder of WhiteSpark. Sorry, Darren.
Whoops.
Yep. And when people start creating content with this, you're going to have real problems with inaccuracy, for lack of a better word, fake everything.
So where's the accountability on that? You're throwing AI at
there
this.
No, where's there's the accountability? None. What are you going to do? You have a regulator sitting there like a bean counter going through every website? You have to rely on the algorithms, and the algorithms aren't there yet. I don't know if they'll ever be there yet.
There really should be almost like a 0 to 10 trustworthy
Look, let's say, let's run this through. Yeah. Okay. Let's say I took that thing about the Yankees as totally inaccurate from a couple of weeks ago, right? Where they're talking about the shortstop being great at defense, and he's not great at defense. That was from like the way beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I had the AI write up a thing, you know, is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa good at playing shortstop? And it spit out the information. I'm like, okay, I need to verify this. I need to write it myself now or to edit it. Mm-hmm. And I do that. But I never really do a deep fact check. I just gotta trust the AI got like the basic fact right, which is saying that he's good at defense.
Right.
Can't get that wrong. Like, that's the basic fact that we're talking about. So I'll rewrite it. I'll edit it. I'll humanize it. Make it sound good. But the basic fact that we're saying this dude is good at shortstop is still going to be wrong.
If
you have an algorithm that can pull out AI written content, here what's not AI written. The person rewrote it themselves. They just got the fact wrong because they trusted the AI.
Yep. I mean, AI is being used for research all the time, regardless of it being generative in content. And we highly recommend not doing that. But yeah, if the fact's wrong, the fact's wrong. And all of a sudden, now you have got people careening out of control where we're trying to have EAT or EEAT, trustworthy content. And if half the content out there.
Facts right. Yeah. The dude's not good at playing shortstop. He sucks at shortstop. Come on.
I know, that got my dander up. That really did.
Get the bum out of here.
So we got to police ourselves, but bringing in the government to police an industry outcropping, a spinoff, a particular derivative of an industry. I'm sorry.
AI on the Wi-Fi?
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. If the regulators don't understand how Wi-Fi works, that sounds like the perfect person.
Absolutely.
How has every movie, like The Matrix and Terminator, everything else, it always starts off with turning off the AI, right?
Do that.
Isn't that how we end human civilization?
Yes, absolutely. Just unplug it, please.
Oh, God.
That was our buildup, just to throw that one in there.
It was. Just wanted to throw that soundbite in.
Always.
Where's the off button? That's what Elon Musk is saying. Well, you can't police it. You can't have governments police this. This is
not possible. Wanted to.
What if you let AI police itself?
Yes.
That's exactly
what you said.
$8 a month.
For $8 a month. You can have your facts checked for only $8 a month.
Verified. $8 a month. Verified facts. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is good at playing shortstop. Verified. $8.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that could be a cobble industry. Of individuals going out and verifying that ChatGPT has got it right. You know? Pick your industry and just go. You could be on the side of the AI.
If you lose your job to AI,
yep.
Get a job fact-checking AI.
Exactly. All right. Hey, we're proud to have Site Strategics as the title sponsor of this show. Our firm is 19 years old and based in Indianapolis, Indiana. We focus on entity SEO, technical SEO, core web vitals, as well as conversion rate optimization, all focused on results-based marketing that works. We've also developed a pretty unique omni-channel broadcast and content curation process, all guided by what we do here on the show each and every week. Incorporate the best strategies to be able to parse through some great content of our clients and be able to get that subject matter expertise that ChatGPT just doesn't know about. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, give us a call at 877-SEO-4-WEB or 877-736-4932, or just go over to sitestrategics.com and you can chat with us. And that's not an AI. That is us. That's me, I think. Aaron AI. Aaron GPT. Huh?
I like
GPT
it.
Aaron.
GPT Aaron. All right. Last article on the list here from Search Engine Journal. Matt Southern rolled out another one here. Google restructures its company to prioritize Bard AI chatbot. Google's actually restructuring the assistant division, prioritizing the Bard AI chat technology, which it was late to the race, potentially impacting the virtual assistant landscape. But isn't that also what it's trying to do in a certain aspect? Is virtual assistant is going to use AI chat to be able to personalize information more and more. But that said, this is pretty big. If Google's actually moving, I don't see how many people in the actual division they're looking to do, but they are responding to this continued code red that they internalized as a memorandum. If they're reallocating team members inside of their organizations beyond what the original Bard was, you know they're stacking more investment in there. It's going to have a larger and larger play here in search as well as across devices. And this is why we threw this article in here as well. I mean, it's been all ChatGPT today, but it's pretty important if you're seeing these tech giants actually move. So I don't think they got the memo from Musk to pause for 6 months.
I bet you they hope it happens so they can get caught up.
I bet they do.
Touché. Well played.
All right, so check that article out. It's a pretty good breakdown of what they're doing and what, well, on top of that, a chronology of the Google Assistant, because I do really think that that's also the precursor of ChatGPT and the AI concept, because personalization and understanding data points is absolutely imperative if you're going to have that type of ecosystem. So it makes sense that they're actually reprovisioning that department. But hey, they're investing and they're not stopping. And you know what's not stopping either? It's Inlinks. Inlinks is a fantastic sponsor for Edge of the Web. Did you know that entities play a major role in how search engines understand and rank content on the web, most likely even inside Bard, although Bard is not search. Optimizing your content solely around keywords is a thing of the past. So check out Inlinks, an award-winning entity SEO software platform. Some friends of ours over at Inlinks are giving us a great opportunity to be able to get you involved there. So go over to edgeofthewebradio.com/Inlinks today. Jump in there to be able to get a free account and start navigating around and be able to see the tools that are there, because they're fantastic. And there's some ChatGPT prompts that they have also worked into content generation to be able to poke at ChatGPT with some keyword strategy, more importantly, content strategy. But again, we highly recommend never scooping up, cutting and pasting ChatGPT. Friends don't let friends copy and paste. All right? How about that? All right.
Copy and paste all the time.
Don't copy and paste ChatGPT. Okay. Right, right.
Yeah.
Copy and paste all the time. Where would we be if we didn't copy and paste?
We'd still be typing the same templated email over and over and over again.
That'd be terrible. That's probably the best innovation in tech ever. Just the copy and paste technique. All right.
You are the light bulb.
Barry Bombardment. This is what I heard last week. Barry Bombardment.
Barry Bombardment.
What the?
We even had two Barrys in the Barry Bombardment last week.
What the heck is this all about? You're changing stuff up. As soon as I'm away for a week, all of a sudden everything's starting to be rewritten.
It was like this before. You just have a concussion. You don't remember.
It's been like that for 3 months. All right. Google Maps can detect fake phone numbers in photos and then remove them over at search engine land, actually. Barry wrote on March 31st, did you know that Google can actually detect if scammers are overlaying fake phone numbers in user-contributed photos within the Google Maps and automatically detect and block those photos from displaying on the business listings? That's interesting. Why would that technique be actually rolled through there? Of people actually posting pictures on business listings amazing, with fake phone right? numbers. Yeah.
It's unbelievable that people will do. By the way, make sure you get your phone number right, Aaron, because that's been a problem in the past.
Suck it, Trebek. All right, come on. They blocked over 150 million images that were policy violating reviews. So there were images inside of the reviews. They blocked or removed 200 million photos, they say, and they blocked over 7 million videos. What is the goal of inserting these fake phone numbers into images and videos? Can somebody explain that to me?
Spammer's gonna spam.
So wait, am I understanding this correctly? Is this, I take a picture of the outside of a Starbucks and put a phone number to something else?
Yes.
Hopefully. And then,
yeah, or you take a picture, like you have a picture of like a restaurant and a hamburger.
Yep.
And it's a hamburger from your restaurant, and you put your restaurant's phone number there.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
I mean,
what's the conversion funnel on that?
Well, I think the first thing that shocks me is
how many people are calling from a number on a
Well, right. You know, I thought this was that hamburger, but you know, you answered the phone. Therefore, yeah. I'm going to give you my hamburger. Money.
Clearly, a big enough problem for Google to create a machine learning system to figure this thing out.
I can't believe there's 200 million photos. I don't know if I've ever called a phone number based off of an image anyway.
See, that's even a
I'm trying to like, wow. I mean,
I don't know, okay. Man. It's graffiti on these images. That just shows you that there's a mechanism at work. And every once in a while, it surfaces and shows us how bad the spamming space is in the local business front.
We gotta try it. Let me upload an image.
Do it live. See whether or not you can get banned real
Who's
quick.
Your biggest competitor in Indianapolis?
All right. Moving on because we don't want to troll. We'll do that out of the show. How about that?
Okay.
All right. So another article from Barry over at Search Engine Land as well. How the March 2023 Google Core update compared to previous core updates. Interesting enough is that he dug through a good deal of data here. You're always a SEMrush advocate. Obviously, you in the past, you've worked with them, but you're also a consultant for them regularly. Give us a picture of the comparisons here between March 2023 and September 2022, which was the most recent core update, right?
This one was way bigger. Like 75% bigger on
Holy
desktop,
96% crap. Seriously?
On mobile. Yeah.
My gosh. And this was, you said it was also even demonstrably large on mobile, right?
Yeah.
My gosh.
So there was a bigger increase on mobile, and the differentiation between the rank fluctuation increases seen back in September of 2022 relative to the baseline period. When you compare the baseline to the update, how much did rank change? And you compare that to the same metric on the March 2023 core update. The fluctuations relative to the baseline were 96% more significant, 95% more significant on mobile in March, and something like 75% more significant on desktop in March.
Now, we've been talking about volatility that has been unbelievable over the last 16 months now. It's never been like this before.
I wonder if it slowed down a little bit.
That's what my question was. We're seeing such volatility. Is that even that is kind of a baseline that we should be looking at as well on top of these core updates, right?
Right. You have to see like the standard deviation.
Right.
How much are they deviating? Yeah. So, but I think it's kind of slowed down a little bit. I wonder what the data looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be interesting to look into. Have there been any categories or industries really affected to a dramatic degree, or do we even have that data yet?
No, it's there. It's in the article. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember the top of my head which niches were the most impacted. Sorry.
No worries. Well, that's why we put the link in the show notes. So we do see shopping and business industrial having a pretty sizable spike. Arts and entertainment are always volatile, obviously.
That was an interesting one.
Yeah. So you got to check out that there's a lot of different industries that are broken down there. And they also compare the industries compared to September 2022 core update as well. So it was high time for a core update, right? We were all kind of wondering.
It's a weird one, though. I'm wondering, because you already see chatter today of things perhaps reversing back again, seeing another spike in rank volatility. Barry reported on it.
Oh, this is really?
The Barry bombardment. Yep. I've seen some weird stuff. Crystal and I were speculating. I wonder if we're due for a reversal to this, because this one, to me at least, this is so anecdotal. Looked a little wonky.
So September 2022 was the last core update. What was the previous core update before September?
I used to be so good at remembering all of them.
Yeah.
I used to know if there was the March 2018, then the August 2018, then September 20, like there was a January one in between there, and then September 2019. I used to know all of them, and then I can't keep track anymore. I don't know what, maybe I'm getting older. Maybe I'm
concussed. It's just too many.
I don't know what it is.
Nice. Maybe there's just too many, but making sure we look at those milestones is one thing.
There's everyone's got, you know, Moz, Semrush, Rank Ranger, they all have a, Google has an official one now. It was like, hey, why don't we get in the rankings for these, you know, Google algorithm history? Let's get
some of that SEO. They absolutely did.
They have their own now.
So what's your professional recommendation for people that are listening to us about a core update, and they're checking their rankings, and all of a sudden they're seeing themselves disappeared from what they thought?
I would just de-index the whole site at that point.
Start over, right?
Yeah, just, you know, call it a quits.
Just go to one page and just make it an m.dot domain. How about that?
Yeah, make it, you know, make a little page as a doorway page or something like that. You might, hey,
ooh, with a doorway creaking sound.
You might as well go full spam. Yeah. Like, go full spammer.
Oh my gosh. These are not the recommendations.
Background.
Animated cursor at that.
Yes.
Yeah, I would, you know,
with a rainbow.
Convert all the, have all the text be the same color as the background.
Yes. Yes. Let's embrace this. Let's just go hog wild on all that.
Buy links, buy tons of links to my, you know, Russian porn sites.
And there's the other shoe right there. Thank you so much, Morty. I appreciate it. Yep. Last Barry. I like Fast Track, not Barry Bombardment. That seems so invasive.
There's no alliteration in Fast Track.
All right, fine. Barry Bonanza. How about that? No?
That's all right. Bombardment is better.
All right. So Google's perspectives about this author and more goes live. Google's actually launched the new perspectives feature, added an about this author section, and globally rolled out about this result and made it easier to access about this page in the Google search bar and search results. Number of different changes in the real estate there. After several months, Barry says, of testing perspectives. What is a perspective, Morty? Give me your perspective on what perspectives are.
Definition of a perspective?
Google perspectives. What are these things?
Oh, it's like we have like, I don't know, I think the example they gave was the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Academy Awards. So you have like the news carousel, and then you have a bunch of another carousel underneath it showing different points of view about the major stories that came out of the Oscars, which I don't know. No one slapped anybody this Oscars, so I don't really know what happened.
It really does need to be a cage match nowadays, right?
The only reason I'm ever watching Oscars again if somebody slaps somebody.
Somebody needs to throw a chair. That's what needs to happen.
Something.
Make it interesting, guys. Anyway, perspectives. It's interesting to see what relevant content actually gets pulled into the perspectives. But thing I really want to talk about is about this author section, right? There's the authority trust factor, right? And the citable references. That's EAT right there in a nutshell, is it not?
EAT.
But it gets back to the RHEL author code so long ago. I mean, Google's been paying attention to author all the time, and it's understanding the entity of that writer. So
yes, but at the same time, Gary at PubCon said, you know, author bios, who the author is.
Doesn't matter.
It's not really heavily weighted in ranking, which makes sense to me. Right, like if the main thing that is important is the content is good,
not that the author is exceptionally knowledgeable about.
I'd say Rolling Stones, Elton John. I don't know, somebody.
All right,
many, many great songs.
Sure,
right. So the second you think, oh, they wrote a song, it must be good, right?
Right. Not entirely, because
I bet you they have. I bet you they have more crappy songs than good songs.
Okay. I get your point. However, they also have been putting out a heck of a lot of songs. That means they got a wake of understanding behind them, right?
Yeah, okay, I understand. Like, yeah, so Elton John's a great musician. He's great, but it doesn't mean that everything he puts out is good just because Elton John's the one who wrote it.
Correct. But that's actually more. Billy that's Joel, actually more.
And it would be good. I don't know of any bad Billy Joel songs.
I think there's one out there.
There might be one or two.
So are you talking about the value of the content is different than the historical nature of the content?
I'd say the value of the content is more important than the author of the content. Not that I'm saying that that doesn't play in and you Google doesn't understand that this is an author who wrote this and that's this author is very known about. I'm not saying it's not part of, but Gary didn't say, no, we don't look at it at all.
Mm-hmm.
He just said that it's not like heavily weighted, which kind of intuitively makes sense.
Fine. I'll give you that. Fine. But, you know, Bear is pointing out the author signature that he had for the source on a search engine land, and that looked really cool. So anyway, yeah. It's a good excerpt, and it's a good exercise in Google's understanding of entities because you can also see there's an entire description of that entity right there, and that's going to be extrapolated from a couple of different reference points as well. So you can see the inside mechanisms that are happening, not only in the...
Oh, it's very cool.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so. I haven't seen that. Have you seen the perspective thing anywhere?
I have not. But I've been on a boat for 10 days. So,
yeah.
I haven't seen much at all. I've been on the waves. I did see a rocket launch, though. Went down to NASA, saw a rocket launch. It was too cool.
Did you? Oh, that's awesome. When you sing the William Shatner version of Rocket Man?
You didn't have enough time.
Oh my gosh, I didn't introduce that to my kids. I should have introduced. They just wouldn't get it. All right. That's it for news. Do we have any SEO chat this week?
No, taking a break. It's a Passover. Yeah. I'm going to pass over SEO chat this week.
Passing over all SEO work. Well, we wish you a happy Passover, sir, and catch you on the flip side of that. All right.
I'll see you on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip. Well, thank you so much, sir. We'll talk to you later, and be sure to check out SERPs Up because that's coming up this week as well. That's it for Edge News this week. Make sure that you check out our second episode of the Greg Finn podcast interview that we were rolling out there. I had some great times with him. And also check out the more recent shows that we've done here as of late with some great influencers around the planet. So check that out. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel as we're popping quick snippets, quick bites for your video consumption. And hey, if you like our show, why don't you go over to ratethispodcast.com/edge today. Let us know how we're doing. And hey, you know what? All things being equal, thanks for doing a good job last week. Everybody who's listening, be sure to stay safe, stay well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. News out.
Banter.
Banter. Banter, banter.